You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. My name is Noam Dorman. I'm the owner of The Comedy Cellar here at the back table of The Comedy Cellar with Ricky Velez, Sam Morell, Lisa Traeger, and
Anthony DeVito.
Anthony DeVito. Hey, what's up, man? No, but and he's on your show, Sam?
Do you not know Anthony?
We know him a little bit, but I don't really know him. I haven't seen his act yet.
He's like, you're going to like his act.
Oh, he's funny.
I haven't seen him. He better be funny.
I mean,
he ought to be. Yeah. I'm sure that he is funny if he's working
here. Almost like,
well, thanks,
he almost has too much of a me appearance for the show, so it's like, you know. I have to shave to be on camera with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did they tell you that yet?
No, they didn't tell me. I saw that. It's going to come up.
You guys are Danny DeVito, Schwarzenegger.
Really? I'm
your
twin.
Short. Wow. You're short, right?
I am short.
Yeah, but that's
Lisa.
Way more compliment and insulting to him and complimentary to me.
I don't know.
Though.
A lot of people find Danny DeVito attractive.
Close.
He's got a wife.
What else have you been compared to that you like Danny DeVito?
Any hijacker. Danny DeVito is a huge step up for me. I used to get Jason Biggs when I was younger and I didn't have a beard. Yeah, because I think the long nose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's a guy from American Pie.
I don't see that at all.
Mm-hmm.
All
right, so today...
Hey, American Pie holds up, by the way.
It does, yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Uh-huh.
I just found out my dog just got out of surgery. $6,000.
Wow.
Which surgery?
Jesus.
Her uterus burst. But the thing is, the dog is 13 years old, and I really went through a moral accounting, cost benefit. Like, do I put this dog down? It's a 70% chance that she'll survive. It's $6,000. It could be more. I said, what's the answer? I don't know what to do.
So, I actually my dog had back surgery last year. He was 3 years old when it happened, and he needed back surgery. $5,000. He was down for 3 months, had to keep him inside of a crate. The other night, he started showing symptoms again. And, like, it got to a point I was like, I don't know if I can do this every year and do this.
Right.
He ate pot. And that's why he wouldn't stand.
Oh, my God.
He ate a bunch of pot and would not stand. And we brought him to the vet. We brought him to the neurosurgeon in the middle of the night. We're like, oh, my, like, my girlfriend was crying. Yeah. She's like, we can't get a break, nothing. And we bring him in, and he's pissing as they finally get him to walk, and he's pissing everywhere.
Hilarious.
And then they're like, yeah, this dog is stoned.
So what are the dog's stone symptoms? Are they the same?
They just get wavy. They can get high from eating it, though, which we can unless it's cooked in something.
Why is that? Because they're smaller? Is that one?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
There's a lot of differences.
If you just eat a bud of weed, no, you cannot
get
high.
But if you cook it.
You know? I never knew that.
The
oil
has
to... Yeah, I've been drinking
weed. Yeah, the THC has to be, like... push through the butter.
So anyway, I did go through with the surgery.
Well, because your kids probably and your wife.
Well, it's funny because I'm having thoughts. I'm like, the kids don't even fucking play with this dog.
Oh, really?
Like, what am I? What is this? But it's a human life.
That'd be great
life,
if you just
life.
Paid for it by just getting rid of the early show host. We just tag team it for a year.
Well, listen, I would think like, well, maybe I will keep this brunch on Sundays because.
Really?
Do you not like the brunch? You're a purist. You don't love it.
No, I'm not a purist at all.
So why don't you love it?
I don't like the brunch because the Eggs Benedict isn't right, because I'm just worried about the food being right.
Okay.
And it's humiliating to me that the Eggs Benedict was lemony 1 week, and then the next week the yolk was cooked through like a hard-boiled egg as a poached egg, you know? And according to Liz and everybody, I'm just having bad luck. Everyone else loves the food, blah, blah, blah.
I had a good Benedict, but...
Here?
Yeah.
Do you know it's Benedict?
The first... I had a smoked salmon one. They're my favorite.
Ooh, that's my fave.
And the potatoes were good. And
then
Jared
had...
My headphones...
Lisa's a real Jew, which I like. She really likes the same foods. I mean, like, paper, smoked salmon. Have a bunch of fun. I mean, you're such a purist. Because, like, on the road, how bad is the food at every club? Like, it's like chicken fingers, and that's all we can... And then you're laboring over the Benedict. You're an amazing man.
No. SD and I had a fight.
I gotta go.
No, no, okay. Come back after your spot.
Yeah.
SD and I had a fight about it. She's like, it's a good income for you. I'm like, no. It's a good short-term income. However, if it's based on a bad product, it's actually a bad income because in the long run, it's going to damage us.
Noam is a fucking drug dealer, dude. Like, that's exactly what... What was it from American Gangster? He like pretty much said the same thing.
Did he?
Yeah, when his stuff was getting stepped on.
Yeah, well, I don't remember that, but that was a good movie.
Yeah,
and he was a smart guy, that gangster.
So this reminds me. So
Frank Lucas.
An all-girl weed delivery. So, of course, me and my roommates, like, we're going to go to them. So we started using the all-girl one. Then they raised their minimum to 200 and raised their bags to 60
apiece.
Because
they're not selling to everybody.
So we stopped. And now
and it's only women sell?
Yeah, so we're like, fuck that.
And they only sell to women.
Yeah.
Is there one degree of separation between everything in my life and weed with you guys? Like, my dog goes to weed.
I don't smoke.
They went back down. We got texts. They went back down to all their prices. I'm like, yeah, you fucking bitches. Like, why would you do that?
That's an embarrassing text, too.
Yeah. They're like, oh, remember, we're still around and it's cheaper. Yeah.
So we had a guest that canceled. I don't even know who it was.
It was an author.
Calabria didn't tell me because he wants his check. But he gave me a list of topics to talk about that are important.
Oh.
But let me jump to this. Eliza Schlesinger, is that her name?
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So, we have Lisa Traeger herself, the shitster.
Now, I don't really know this story. Who wants to run it down?
Can I say one thing before Lisa gets started? I was going through it wasn't even like someone broke the news, like I got a text, did you hear about Lisa? I'm just casually going through my Twitter timeline, and I see Lisa start the shit, and I was like, well. Where will this go?
It was exciting. So I
No, I just want to say one thing before you tell the story.
Yeah.
When you say her side of it, I just want you to try to describe what she said and what her point of view was in a way which she would feel was fair to her side.
I want you to do her side, though, in an unearned applause break and just... make it relatable.
No, it's funny because her side is she doubled down on it and she's just so wrong, and I could tell you exactly what she said and it'd be fine.
What's her side? Tell the whole story. Assume we know nothing.
You guys know nothing. So Thursday I got all four of my wisdom teeth out. I wake up from sedation. I'm on some pain pills. My friend Annie, she's a shitster too. She picks me up from the surgeon and goes, look what Eliza said. And I went, well, and then I started tweeting. And
what
did
she say? What did she say?
So in an interview, she was just saying... there's a problem because women shouldn't be dirty on stage. They shouldn't talk about sex, that she sees a trend.
At all.
All women, just they go dirty, and it's a huge problem. And she goes, I'm the only woman that's doing jokes about World War II. That's the funniest quote I've ever heard. Like, there's nothing more hacky than Holocaust jokes. I love them. We all love them. But, like, what are you? You're the only woman. Also, don't fucking tell women what to say. That's insane. I just think that's an insane point of view to have. And, also, get away from us. You're not funny. So then the interview keeps going.
I think while you're doing it, I'm going to look it up so I can actually read it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I don't know the order of all this stuff, but she then was like, after the fight got started, she basically went, I've been proving women are funny night after night in clubs around the country with a handful of other women. So I'm like, oh, you think there's only a handful of funny ones? You think you're the most funny? And then you think that you're better than everyone and that we shouldn't be dirty. And it's like, that's annoying to me. So I just wrote, I talk about fucking and I say pussy and I'm funnier than you'll ever be.
Whoa.
You're a hack. You should save your money.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, everyone hates her. So then it became like the most fun thing.
Right.
And everyone was doing World War II pussy jokes and then writing things that... like mean stuff she's done to them. But for me, it's like, bitch. Oh, and then they asked for her favorite female stand-up comic, and she said Tina Fey, who's not a stand-up. Like, you can't even think of a woman stand-up that you like. You think you're better than everyone, and you're not funny, and you're a hack.
Is she not funny?
No.
She's not my taste.
She doesn't have punchlines. She has voices.
She brings her dog on stage.
She generalizes, you know, like she has a joke about how women only talk about weather and men talk about sports, you know?
Well, when you say it, Lisa. I mean, it was definitely entertaining. I like the World Wrestling Federation aspects of stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So when someone gets called up,
okay, read it.
It's fun.
She wrote, when you're a woman in comedy and you get a break, people get so excited about it, but while... we have to work hard to get that attention. I do think many women think, oh, if I just act like a guy or I go for that low-hanging fruit, everything's about sex or how weird I am. It all just kind of runs together. I could walk into the improv, close my eyes, and I can't tell one girl's act apart from another. That's not saying that 30-something white guys don't all sound the same, but I'm banging my head against the wall because women want to be treated as equals and we want feminism to be a thing, but it's really difficult when every woman makes the same point about her vagina over and over. I think the only woman out there that has a joke... I'm the only woman out there who has a joke about World War II in my set. I think shock value works well for women, but beyond that, there's no substance. I want to see what else there is with such complex, smart creatures.
She's entitled to her opinion, but when, as Lisa said, when you're not particularly popular in the comedy group, you've got a target on your back when you say something like that.
Well, but why does your opinion always have to be public? Like, I have a lot of thoughts I just keep to myself.
I think it was
like,
an interview.
But why is that your opinion? And that's the thing. You can go through our Twitter back and forth. Like, her ideas are just so crazy. There is no problem. Like, she's saying that she sees a problem, but there is no problem. Why can't we talk about our pussies? It's crazy. Yeah, a crazy point to make.
I don't think that makes you like a man either. I think like
I think
this got her 100% the attention she wanted out of posting this. That's what I think. I think it was a strategic move.
No, I think she was shocked because then she went and deleted the tweets and then did a statement being like, what I said was awesome, but it's like you deleted them. You were embarrassing. She went into a tailspin.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
A selfie in a bikini and went, how are you going to act when a woman's not ashamed of her body? I'm like, no one's hating on you. You hate it on everyone else.
Is there nothing to what she's saying?
Absolutely not.
Let me ask you this question.
We're stand-up comics. We can talk about what we want.
Right. It would be different if she was nice. If she was nice and people had nice shit to say about her.
I think Ricky makes a fair point. You know?
No, but if she would have said that, and she would have been, let's say it's another female comic. Who could have said that?
I think she, no, here's my thing. I agree with Ricky, but I think there's a lack of awareness with her where it's like to post those photos, to be that person, and it makes her disliked. And then when you're going to have the act she has and act like this truth teller who's like some barrier breaker in interviews,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I want you to watch her special and to make feminism
That's what's making people angry is that there's a disconnect. She doesn't seem to see that. She's doing kind of like a poor man's Dane Cook on stage, I think. And then for her to be this like Patrice in interviews, like I'm the only person pushing the envelope. Yeah. It makes her even less likable. And the last thing I'll say also is that she doesn't seem to be the type of comic that has a lot of comic friends. It's helping comics. Like if someone like Amy were to say this, Amy's been on record as helping a shitload of comedians. Someone like, Colin Quinn's helped a lot of comics, I think. So there's a difference there where you seem like I'm fighting for you. For her, it's almost, it's not like I want to do this for the good of comedy. I want to do
this to raise myself above.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Well,
she thinks she's the number one comedian. Because immediately after I made the points, because she goes, you're competing. I go, all my female friends that are comics are funnier than you, and I compete with none of them. I want the best for them. No one is competing, but you obviously have made it clear that you see comedy as a competition. And it's the thing of, like, she immediately went to, like, you're jealous, you're this, you're that. And it's, like, it's none of those things. You just went and insulted a group.
But this is what, first of all, there's something, dangerous about the way you guys are analyzing this. Because you're mixing the opinion with how you feel about her,
I've never met her.
Which is, like sometimes they'll take a speech that some politician says and they'll poll people on it and people will think it's fine and they'll actually agree with it until they find out it was Donald Trump who said it or something.
We might have never heard about it.
But if I wasn't on drugs, I probably wouldn't have even gone on Twitter.
No, my point is is what she said bullshit or is it bullshit because of who said it?
The thing is, I fought with everyone. Why
are the two separated?
Yeah.
Because if somebody does a math theorem and proves it, it doesn't matter who said it.
But I don't think something was proven. I think she's being judged by the hypocrisy of based on who said it.
Oh, so this is hypocrisy.
To be naked on your cover and no one cares, and then to say women shouldn't talk about fucking in our bodies on stage.
Okay,
it's crazy.
You and a lot of girls talk about your pussies and you talk about it. But what if you had to get into this business in 1975 and that was not an option for you? What would you do then?
But why is that even a thing?
Because
it was a thing.
Because Joan Rivers couldn't say stuff, and she still went on and did an abortion joke on television.
Abortion joke.
But it's still limits made by men in society. Like, why would I listen? I don't know.
This is not a man's problem. This is Eliza Schlesinger's.
Yeah, but even her reason of why she thinks Tina Fey, she went Tina Fey because she makes men laugh. Like, she is the thing that she's claiming other women are doing. Like, I'm not talking about my pussy to get men to try to fuck me or to impress men or for men to think I'm funny. I'm doing it because this is what I want to say. So that's the implication too, that I'm just sitting here being like, well, what jokes can I do that's going to be shocking and men will like it? Like, you're doing that and then you're putting it on us. I'm talking about fucking because that's how I'm in my real life. Like, that's what I do. So why would I change?
Well, we all do.
Yeah, so that's what, honestly, there was one night.
You want to say something, Keith?
That's why fucking is more relatable than World War II.
Wait, I want to say one thing before Keith. So I was around the corner at the BU, and I went up, and then Big J was on stage, and a man came up to me and goes, "You were funny, but what's the deal with female comics and cheap sex jokes?" And I go, "My jokes aren't cheap." And he goes, "Well, I know, you know what I mean." I go, "I don't know, why don't you go watch Big J?" Like, Big J is one of the most filthy comedians out there. How dare you fucking talk to me and try to tell me what I should and shouldn't say? And then I came over here and Louis was sitting here and I like told him, I was like, "I'm so annoyed this dude said that." And even Louis was like, "All I do is talk about fucking. We all think about fucking. It's like, it's vulnerable. We all want it. It's a fun thing. It's a good thing. It's embarrassing. It's hot. It's like, it's so many emotions. Why wouldn't we talk about a thing that everyone is thinking about and what I think about all the time? Why wouldn't I do it?"
Well, talking about it is one thing. The question is, what percentage do you react relies
but
on
why,
it?
What do you mean rely? I'm funny. They're funny jokes.
All right. I have been, I mean, don't get mad, but I have over the years watched female comedians, or even not just female comedians, black comedians, or any comedian who, any subset of comedians, and who rely constantly on their DNA,
it's not relying.
On their DNA, as it were, to for their humor, it's, as opposed to.
It's how you live your life,
as opposed to talking about a million other things under
the
sun,
thing,
like Louis does.
No, the whole thing,
including
with
fucking, you know.
The whole thing with comedy, though, is like, and writing. I forgot who said this, but it's like you need to be an outsider to be able to comment on the inside. And so, like, if you're an outsider and you're living in this outside life, or you feel that way, that's where you're coming from and your perspective, and that's what you're going to talk about. And that's why I think white dudes have to go talk about, like, news topics, because they're on the inside. If you're insular in what, like, the power of society is, you're not going to be able to talk about this outside experience. But, like, I don't think it's relying. It's I'm talking about my pussy in the way I want to, and I'm making people laugh. And when I'm on stage and the audience has seen four dudes in a row, and then I come up, there's a look that I get from women that are, like, excited, they're laughing, they're clapping. I'm getting high fives.
You're
when
very
I leave the
funny.
Stage.
Nobody's downing that.
No, so I'm saying it's like, why can't I talk about it?
Well, let me ask you
if
this.
The women.
No, I agree. I agree with
will
Lisa.
That, will that be the subject matter 5 years
but,
from now?
But no, to your point earlier.
Well, now I'm fucking a woman, so it's all new fucking jokes.
I know, but is that what it's always going to be for you, is fucking jokes?
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's no way to predict that. But I think,
I'm not going to have kids. Are you mad that everyone with kids talks about kids? That's annoying. I think that's hack. Stop talking about your kids. We're
why is
bored.
That, first of all, no subject. no subject is hack.
No, I know, but
it's the jokes that are hack.
No, but I, as you said, it's the way she said it and who said it. That's really what it comes down to. Is what she, if she made that point in a different way, I don't think she would have been as attacked. But she has had a target on her back for such a long time. You know, I mean, you have to be if you're gonna go after comics with that reputation, you're gonna have to be careful, or you're gonna have to deal with the fallback, I think.
And it wasn't just me. I mean, Chelsea Peretti, Lori Kilmartin, like, all women in comedy were not... No one defended her. That's a great point. Not
did Amy,
one...
Did Amy comment on it?
No.
No.
I'm just saying not one person defended her online, except Patrick, who books The Stand. Not one person defended her. Not one
doesn't
person,
he know to stay out of it?
Not one person stood behind her and went, actually, she's a good person. Actually, a thread started about shitty things she's done to people. It's like... You
well,
are?
Now that I know that Patrick defended her, I'm totally on your side. Yeah. Like, I'm totally team
also,
Lisa.
Patrick's got a brunch show, and I hear it's pretty good now. So,
they have a brunch show?
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
I'm just saying, it shows what kind of character she is and how good of a comic that not one comic defended her.
Okay, do you think... And Keith, you want anything to say anything on this? Do you have anything you want to say about this, or you just want to listen?
I'm listening.
Listen, let me give you an analogy.
Yeah.
There's a famous story in music where Henry Mancini was writing the music for Breakfast at Tiffany's. And what's her name? Catherine Hepburn. Not Hepburn. The other one.
Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn had to sing, but she had a very limited range.
Yeah. It was mostly pussy songs?
Mostly pussy songs. So her range was... she had a 9-note range.
Yeah.
So Henry Mancini had to write a song with this kind of imposed limitation. And he wrote Moon River... And because he had that limitation, it was able to... He wrote one of the greatest songs he ever wrote.
Right.
And so I always thought, like, you know, if some of these comics had to work at a time where they couldn't talk about their pussies...
Yeah.
You are falling back on it in a certain way, and you never get forced to write Moon River. You never get forced to say, okay, that I can't do that.
But what am I... Let me try
to make... Like Gary Gold, let me try to make the state capitals funny. Let me try to make... There's a million things...
Yeah, because maybe they're just... Their life isn't fun enough. I have a fun life, and I talk about it.
Okay.
I don't have to talk about capitals. I don't know.
Can I do have to say something? Yeah. It's like everybody has their own personal journey. Everybody has a personal journey. But it's no need to shit on anybody's journey. What she feels is what she feels. Well, what I don't like, what you feel, is that, no, it's like you always bring up men do it. Or men say it like Jay is filthy. And it's like Jay is funny. Leave
yes,
it at that.
Of course, but why am I standing there after I had a good set and a man telling me that I'm dirty as Jay is
because
legit?
They don't get it. Because that guy doesn't get it.
You're also talking about a crowd member.
It wasn't
a manager or
I think the people that get it get
it. Of course, Jay's one of my favorite
comics. One at a time.
I was not shitting on Jay.
But what we don't realize is though, what a lot of times women don't realize, men get told that all the time. You're too dirty. Why can't you be this? Why can't we don't go, well, women are dirty too. Just go what your journey is and leave it at that. You're a funny girl. That's it.
This started,
stand on that.
Woman. But this started because someone in an interview, like a female comic, said that women are, you heard all of it. But,
right.
So that's where it all came from.
Right, but it don't
matter.
But
why say it? But it's never in a discussion.
Really, what do you care?
It should, because I was on pain pills and having a great time. I loved having my internet fight.
Oh, okay. Well, that's your answer.
It was a great time.
Now, you slipped into something. You became a lesbian?
I think I'm bi, but yeah, I'm dating a girl, and I think I'm going to marry her.
So you think you're bi? You think? That's so puzzling that you wouldn't know what your sexual preference is.
Because you're not sure if you ever want to go back to dick.
I don't know if I want to see anyone but her, honestly, but like... the reason it's weird is because it's not like I've been hating fucking dudes. It's like, I always thought identity politics was so annoying and like stupid, but now when people are like, you're a lesbian, now I'm like, I don't think so, but I guess, I don't know. I feel like I'm the same person. It's like weird to relabel myself.
I'm
working on a joke about it.
Did something emotional, well, I mean, there's one narrative about lesbians is that like, or any homosexual, they're born that way. And I've known about it. Since I was born, I always knew I felt this way. That's clearly not you.
You make enough money, I think.
Wait, what?
I have a belief that if people make enough money and they're so bored, that's why like all those actors and the rest of that become like gay and start messing around with everything. No, it's true.
So what I'm
it's
wondering,
true. They're just so bored because they fucked everything.
The
they're
second
like, hey,
show got
dude.
Picked up. That's a Scissor City.
So I'm wondering this. Did you... So you wake up one day and all of a sudden now you're becoming lesbian. Is that a reaction to having bad emotional experiences with men?
No, I went to Australia. I went to Australia to do this comedy festival.
Because prior to this, a lot of your act was talking about how fucked up men are, how they treat you bad, how they only use you to come inside. Like, and I remember, can I be honest?
Yeah.
Like 6 months ago, I heard you spewing all this anti-men stuff, and I turned to a waitress in the underground. I said, "She's gonna go lesbian."
Yeah, you called
because
it.
Because I heard the just that you were fucking fed up with men.
Was. And I do also. I just want to comment on Keith. Obviously, that's the whole thing. It is everyone's journey, and that's why it's annoying to comment on what people should and shouldn't say. And then the thing I just wanted to finish this with saying, like, what would you have done 40 years ago when I couldn't say it? It's like people have been telling me my whole life, like people don't like my personality, like. People don't like anything I've said, and people have told me to change forever, and I haven't, and I'm where I wanted to always be because of it.
And you opened for Louis C.K., right? Louis took
it? I haven't, no.
Oh, yeah, I didn't, I thought. Oh.
No, it's okay. I opened for Dave Attell. I mean, but.
That's great.
I got to be in
she
a show.
She was on Louis' show.
I was on Louis' show.
Louis' show, that's
but
what it
But it's not even the thing. I'm here every night. Like, it's a thing of, like, I'm where I am because I didn't listen to people telling me what to do, and that's why it's, like, also off-putting to tell a comic what to do because the reason we're doing it is because we want to say what
we
want.
The advice I've always gotten as a comic has always been the worst advice. When people are like, do this or do that, whenever it's not against your instincts as a comic, I think it's you. The people that tell you to do a certain thing are usually pretty out of touch.
Because the whole thing was getting on a late-night set, and I never worried about it, and I got to do a late-night set. I got to do a Holocaust joke. I didn't swear. It was about fucking, and I got to... do a thing that was a goal while not listening to everyone that told me to not be
so, I remember a guy lectured me once when I was starting out in comedy. He was like, you don't hold the microphone the right way.
Yeah.
And I was like, if that's what's going to break it for me.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it was like he like embarrassed me in front of 10 other comics, like lectured me, like, you don't hold the microphone right. And now
who was it?
Some fucking cokehead named Tom Sobel who like books the fucking
oh yeah.
That guy.
I know Sobel. Yeah.
That guy's a fucking
hilarious.
Where is he now?
probably dead in his own vomit.
Now with a show on MSG. Oh, so this is what happened. So I went to Australia for this festival, and we have a mutual best friend, me and this girl. She's a comic in London. And so I knew I was going to hang out with her.
You said this is what happened. This is how you became a lesbian.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So we were at the... But I've hooked up with girls before, and I've had group sex and stuff, but...
group sex, one-on-one
see,
with
like,
girls before?
That's insane. So, yeah. Like, that's, like you understand, like, you understand, like, you've been a lesbian. You've been a lesbian.
I've had some gay
moments.
Him,
like, now would... Okay, now, it's been brought up numerous times. That's the only reason I'm bringing it. But Mike Lawrence, he's done things in the past. Would you consider him a gay man?
I don't know. Because this makes me think that labels are stupid. I don't know. It's just like everyone should just be.
Again, it depends on the person though, because I'm definitely straight.
Yeah,
I made out with a boy once when I was in like second grade.
You're gay.
Well, look, I sucked his dick.
I
don't want to
blue ball
him, but
fucking weird, dude.
Yeah, no, it was a weird moment for sure. And I remember I told my mom, I was like, I think I'm gay. She was like, you're not gay.
Like, you told your mom in second grade, I think I'm gay?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And she was like, you're definitely not gay. I was like, I can tell. She's like, I know. And then she sent me to a conversion class, and I've been good ever since.
I had an experience where one of my best friends in high school, we used to sleep in this, I had a big, like a double bed growing up, and when you sleep over, we always slept in the same bed as little kids. And at one point, he was sleeping over again, and we were a little bit older, and I went to get a sleeping bag. He's like, well, we can't sleep in your bed anymore. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. So we're sleeping in our bed, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and he's jacking me off.
Whoa,
I wake
out
up
of
in
here.
In the middle of the night, and I realized what was happening, and I immediately rolled over to the other side of the bed. That's how I know I'm not gay. Like, it was no equivocation. It was totally instinct.
But you did hire him. Front door, Steve Fabricant?
No, it's another friend. I rolled over to the other side of the bed, and we never spoke about it again. We woke up in the morning. We pretended it didn't happen. We remained friends.
How old?
16.
Oh, okay.
I was in Boy Scouts. And
No.
So I used to be in the Boy Scouts in the original neighborhood I grew up in Queens Village, which kind of hood. So like we had like a hoodish Boy Scout group, and then my parents moved me over to the white group, like into another neighborhood, because that group, like, we were fist fighting a lot. Like, it wasn't Boy Scout; it was more of a gang. Like, it was like a very weird group of people put together, and then. The first time I went on a trip, I was in a tent with four other dudes, and two of them were dry humping each other the whole time. And I was like, I'm not in Boy Scouts anymore. Like, I was like, I can't do it. And I quit. I couldn't deal with it. It was insane.
So you're not gay?
No, I'm not.
You're in Australia.
Wait, hold on. Did you feel violated? Were you guys friends ever, like, forever after that?
Yeah. I didn't feel...
You don't seem like a judgmental guy, like, in that way.
No, I was just wondering if
Oh, no, I wasn't judgmental.
Did you feel violated or
no? No, you know, I grew up because my father at a nightclub in the village and stuff. I was very aware of homosexuality. My father was very ahead of his time. He always believed it was something you were born with. He always thought that, like, Freudian psychology was bullshit and it was like a religion. And I just felt that my friend was gay, and I just never mentioned it to him again.
Did you guys ever talk that out? Jerking off?
Never. It's like it never happened.
You wish you kind of maybe asked before doing it, but past that, there's not much you could do. You know?
Surprise party. I'm gay. Like, hey, wake up!
I don't know why I wasn't mad. Someone else could have been mad. I really wasn't mad. It just happened.
Yeah, because it's uncomfortable. That's why. Because it's like, what are you going to do?
Because you were learning something more than you were being molested.
Also, it happens in this kind of like dreamlike half sleep state. So and that kind of makes it less traumatic too. Like, I was in an earthquake one time in LA in that same state, and I wasn't scared.
And you guys still hung out a lot?
Yeah. Yeah. And he became somebody pretty prominent. I don't want to say it on the air, but
did he come out ever? Or
Anthony
no?
Weiner.
No, he didn't come out, and he's not married to my knowledge. And then after that, he did work in the Olive Tree. And I heard that he had some gay things in the Olive Tree. But I don't know that he's ever come out. And maybe he's bi. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was. Yeah. Anyway, so you're in Australia.
So I got to Australia. I knew I was going to hang out with her because we had a mutual friend and we're in a foreign country. And we're all. So, and the other Americans weren't really partiers. And so we just started hanging out. And then she told me to fuck this dude. And she was trying to fuck a dude while we were there too. And I fucked that guy. And I was like, whatever. But then we kept hanging out. And then we were at an art museum and like the third or fourth day. And I was like, oh, I'm like in love with her. And then we just kept hanging out, and I was like, this is like my person. And then my friend flew in from Dubai to hang out, and I was like, you need to leave us alone. Like, I'm in love, and I need to confess. And so we just hung out, and then the last night we made out, and then I confessed how much I liked her.
How did the makeout start?
We went to go dance to the Backstreet Boys, everybody. Because we both like the Backstreet Boys. And it was my last night. I had to confess, like, all my...
Is she hot?
She's so hot.
Okay.
She's like, she looks like everyone I had crushes on as a teen. But grown up, like, she kind of looks like Leonardo DiCaprio and, like, a boy band member with the body of Miley Cyrus. Like, she's everything I want.
Harry Styles.
A little, yeah, she's like a little boy band blondie. But, yeah, so cute. And then I kept, like, trying to tell her. And afterwards, she's like, I liked you too, but I put you in the brain of straight people. You only talked about fucking dudes. And so...
Maybe Eliza was right.
Yeah. And so we went, the Backstreet Boys came on. I was like...
You had to go around the corner? What the fuck? Okay, go ahead.
I was like, we should dance. And then we went and danced. And then the song after it was like boring. So I was like, do you want to make out? And she's like, yeah, and we made out. And she's like, we should get out of here. And then in the car, I was like, I've liked you this whole time. Like, blah, blah. And then we fucked. And then I
what
had
does
to
that
fly.
Mean? What does we fuck mean? When
this is my favorite thing.
We had sex? I don't know. I
mean, does it mean mutual oral sex? Because
nope.
That's not fucking.
I mean,
he travels with something.
There was a strap-on.
Which she traveled with.
She traveled. The girl traveled.
Yeah, she also told me about the strap-on like the first or second day we hung out. So I was like, I knew you liked me. I was like, why did you sneak in that you had a strap-on?
Have you ever been fucked with a strap-on before this?
No, I've been fucked with like people holding things, but not someone wearing a strap-on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you put on the strap-on too?
I didn't, no.
Have you?
No.
Will you?
Yeah.
So you're still the, like, I don't want to say he, I don't want to say she's
yeah,
the boy.
Yeah. No, she's.
But you're still kind of living the straight part.
Yeah, and
you're
I'm also less
fucked.
Experienced.
I think
with
you could,
girls,
I think you could figure out the strap on.
Yeah. But then.
It's a belt.
She stayed in Australia and I went to a different city and, like, then it was hard. And then Memorial Day weekend, she was in Toronto writing for a TV show. So I met her there for the weekend for like 4 days, and then I'm going to London to visit her.
Okay, but
in
the
July.
strap-on thing fascinates me because,
yeah,
of course, I understand getting another person off. You can do it with your fingers, whatever it is.
Oh, dude, yeah. I don't get it.
But when you're strapping on a dick as a woman, I believe it's more. There's more to that than just trying to get the other person off. There's something about the masculinity of wearing the dick.
Yeah, she likes to fuck people for sure. And she said something.
Now, if you guys were together and she cheated on you with a strap on, does that count as cheating?
I don't know.
That's the dude. It's not a real
fair
it's
question.
Not a real dick.
The witness will answer the question.
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about it since we live so far. Like, what we're gonna do? It's, you know, to make sure we stay together longer. I would rather her fuck a dude. Like, if she's fucking people,
You'd rather her get fucked.
I'd rather
her. You want her
dudes.
To be your man.
And maybe that's what it is, but I feel more comfortable with her, like, having sex with a guy when we're apart than another girl.
Okay.
And I don't really want to have sex with anyone, so I'm fine.
Now, is part of the happiness of this relationship not that you've discovered that you like same-sex relationships, but that you're getting intimacy and joy from this relationship, which had been heretofore absent from your relationships with men?
Yeah.
That's true.
What is it? Yeah.
What do you mean? I was just attracted to her. I didn't think about
she's
it.
She's loving to you
it.
And she cares about you.
Yeah, she's just like perfect.
She's not using you.
Yeah, I don't feel like people were using me. I don't know.
Well, you say that in your act that you feel that they
the were. Using?
No, that men just want to come. That's all they just use you
I
to
mean,
they use you to come.
The thing, but it's not me. I think it's men in general and the way they treat women. I think it's like
I think that's unfair, and I always say I always say it to you. I always say it.
And my material's not finished, but like I study, like I like proving things. So it's like I do have a theory, and I'm gonna prove it, and I have arguments, and I'm gonna get to a place where it's all fucking funny and right. And
but to a point, you're generalizing.
Of course I am, but that's what comedy is. You take a strong point of view, 100%. And then that's the thing, like. Men generalize women all the time. It's just like, of course it's not all men. And because men, I think, are more sensitive than they lead on, I have to clarify to my act multiple times and do self... Like, I have to go backwards and be like, I know it's not all men. Like, I feel body language change. I feel it. And so I want to make sure everyone's having a good time. And it's difficult doing material that people might not like and figuring it out. And I want to figure it out. And I want men that are good guys to laugh and like... Or I want men to be like, oh, yeah, this is... Or I haven't done this. Because one of my points is, like, I went and I bought pussy eating books immediately because I was like, I want to make her feel good. And like, I just don't know if that instinct is with men as teens are brought up in a sexual way.
Such a thing as pussy eating books. Did you know that?
I did not know about that.
No, because, but for me, it's like, I want to make her come. I don't know if I'm going to be good at it. And I want to make sure I'm as good as
but
I can.
But then instead of going and buying a book, well, we just continue to try to fuck you the best we can.
Hopefully. I mean, my whole thing is like, I
right? No, is that what you go for?
Yeah, because you're like, in a relationship. I mean, but I'm just saying, like, with, I know dudes out there, my friends, I have been fucked well. Like, we have friends, I have friends that have been fucked well. But overall, so many of my girlfriends and so many of us, I don't just come up with things out of the blue. We have bad sex. It's like awful. Like, we get treated poorly.
And there's bad sex on both
for
sides.
Decades. Exactly. And so I'm just trying to figure out, like, why is it that all of these women in my life that are like successful, talented, hot, why are we all having such bad sex and not
because
speaking up
so
about it?
Because there's so many variables. Like, of course,
and
varies.
So I'm
like,
trying to figure them out.
You have no
out.
Clue how bad like one of your friend's pussies thinks. Like, that's a real thing.
Oh, God.
Sure.
That's a real thing,
true.
Though.
True, some of them
so,
really.
So, like, yeah, you, like, there's ones that like ruin rooms.
Have you ever been like, with the one where like you wash it off and the smell goes away and the next day it comes back?
Like lobster.
What the fuck is like
it's, lobster?
It was gone. I know it was gone,
dude.
It's back.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
That's
and
a real
I think
thing.
That's a real thing. And I'll tell you right now, I have a lot of friends that do like they'll bang a chick that smells bad, but they're gonna do it very fast and in and out because of that.
Yeah, but then don't.
Why?
Or say something. Okay, but that's what I'm saying. But then
okay.
It's.
Okay. I have two things I want to ask you.
The point of that is that you're there for you to come. It's not a mutual thing. It's like sex is, I mean, overall, I think sex is just taught weird and like, I think there are problems with
Lisa,
it. I think, yeah.
I have two things, and one, Ricky will have it. The first thing is, that, so I think, I've suspected for a long time that there's two kinds of lesbians and one kind of gay guy. There's a, because gay, like a gay guy will not turn, a straight man is not going to turn to other men because he's like really having shitty relationships with women and he just feels, but, there are a lot of women like Lisa, and I've known them, who were straight, and all of a sudden they fuck this shit, and they get something from a woman, which is something they've needed.
Compassion.
Yeah, it's a connection.
Yeah.
But a man will not start sucking dick for that connection. I mean, I can't say no man has ever done it, but it's not a big subset
you're
of men.
You're making it sound like it's crack, like I'm doing this. No,
that's a hell of a point. That's a hell of a point.
Yeah. But here's my second thing. Oh, but this is, go
me
ahead.
And Noam have never had the best conversation where it's like, you know what, like, me and him connect so well on this level that I'm going to start sucking him off. Like,
yeah,
that,
but
yeah, if we connect on that level, we'll go to a whorehouse.
Yeah. Yes. I've also never been so turned on in my life. Like, I'm very attracted to her. I'm
I think
into
it's,
it.
I'm not
the
saying it's not love it's not or whatever, but I also think it's something new. It's also, what's it called, that I've done is it's you don't live in the same.
Yeah.
That's huge because every time you see each other, it's a vacation.
It's so good.
It's a vacation. Then when you guys are fully around each other, which I've been for 4 years with my girl, that first year was just fights because you don't live. You're always on vacation together.
Yeah. But, you know, my best friend Sabrina and Shauna, they've been married for a while. Yeah. And watching them.
Lesbians.
Whenever I talk to people about relationships and marriages I like really looked up to, they were the ones I always talked about. And there is something there that is like an understanding.
Now I'm gonna tell you the other thing. Yeah. Listen, I've never.
But it wasn't like a conscious.
I've never fucked somebody
thing.
With a strap on.
Yeah.
But I've done the closest.
Would you like to be? Would you want to be fucked with him?
No, I've done the closest thing a straight guy can do to have that experience, which is I've used condoms.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that the worst I've ever been. In bed with a girl has been when I'm wearing a condom because you don't feel a fucking thing. It's so you just can't. It's not sensual in the same way because you can't feel.
Well,
there's
I
no
agree
feedback.
With that. Like,
so it's kind of like wearing a strap on.
When I was single, like this was a big thing with me. Like I would rather, like, if a girl would be like, "Want me to blow you? Want to have sex?" I'd be just like, "Blow me," because like if I have to wear a condom. It's not going to be fun for anybody.
Absolutely. So I'm wondering, how does a woman, your girlfriend, put on a strap on? Is it sensual because she can't feel anything? She comes
while wearing it.
Yeah.
Stop it! You guys are stop it.
It's a vibrating strap on, and
it's in her too.
No, but there's a double ended dildo. I mean, yeah, we have fun.
No. She's wearing a strap on that goes around your waist. Puts it on.
Yeah.
And
she comes from fucking me, but then other things happen too, yeah.
I think women choose when they want to come.
Grinds on their. I mean, I think it's a mental thing too, for sure.
More for women.
I mean, because what? There's a comic who said something to me about like, how do you connect since it's not a real dick? Like, what are you connecting? And I'm like, I know for a fact you cheat on who you're with all the time. Like, you're connecting with every whore you fuck. Like, get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. We're connecting in a lot of ways, and it feels good, and we're both.
I think women can just connect more
and
mentally.
And we're also just not coming
at
the same time.
I'm not doubting you're connecting.
Yeah, but she comes from that. But she also said something. She goes, everyone should get the feeling of fucking someone. She's like, it's very powerful and cool. Like, the feeling of fucking someone, she said everyone should
It is pretty
experience.
Dope.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So I think she enjoys that. I mean, she's always thought she was just like a young boy. You know what I mean? Like, her thing is when she watched Titanic, it was confusing for her because she had a crush on him but also wanted to be him. And that's her life, and that's what she's become.
Does she have a strong jaw?
I don't know.
I, this is probably not something I'm supposed to say on the air, but I've noticed a lot of lesbians have a very strong jawline. Have you noticed that?
The ones that are the male predominant, like
I'm not touching that.
All of them?
Definitely not all of them. But like. I know at least a half dozen. I was like, wow, really a strong jawline, I don't know. You're not supposed to talk about these things. Like, I don't know because you're just not. That's the world we live in. Speaking of which,
we're talking about it though.
Somebody sent me a video today of a Larry Wilmore moment. Where he was making fun of this tragic kid who came back from North Korea a vegetable and then died.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we were shitting on that kid. I've been watching that thing. I've been watching what's going on, and we really took that kid apart.
Wait, so what happened?
I'm not going to say we, because I wasn't a writer. I was a correspondent.
Yeah, so I wanted to give you a chance to comment on it, because it didn't look good.
It didn't look good.
And it's going around.
Oh, can you do a background?
Okay, so the kid that just passed away, did you see that?
He was hostage in North Korea for like a year.
He was hostage in North Korea.
Because he brought like a sign or something?
He stole a propaganda sign from North Korea.
Okay.
And he got caught, and they put you away. I mean, that's what they do. Like, you're in North Korea. And that's what I think more of his angle was. Like, you're in this place that you probably shouldn't be taking a school trip to. And that, right? He was taking a school trip. Am I still correct there?
I think you're right. I don't really know.
I was about to say, how did he get into North
Korea?
It was some tour.
It was like a college or high school tour.
When I was in high school, we took a tour to the Soviet Union when it was a Soviet Union.
I went to
the
Big Apple Circus.
All right. Okay. No, I mean, you can't blame, and he's too young to know. You can't blame him for that.
But
you can blame him for stealing.
Yeah, Larry ripped him apart because he was just like, here's a rich kid being an asshole, which he was. I still agree with it. That he was being a dick. I mean,
why was he being a dick?
He stole a sign from North Korea. The fucking people that just have no, like, human.
How old was he?
I mean, yeah. Once again, he was a young kid in North Korea.
So two things. First of all, when I took that trip to the Soviet Union, I had some drinks. I was 16, and I changed some money on the black market. Like, this guy just told me I changed some money. I committed a crime. You know, I didn't get caught. Imagine if I gotten caught. And I came home dead or a vegetable.
Wait, so
and some
happened?
People on TV say, well, you know, you shouldn't have changed money. I mean, like, it's like, but then, so this kid is on TV.
He comes back to America in a full coma.
And then he dies a few days later.
We got him back after like 18 months. No, 18
months. So
they
put him in a coma?
Yeah.
They did something.
And they don't know, like, they're studying the body now to try to figure it out. But listen, man.
So they had him on, at first when he was first taken hostage, they had video of him, like, crying, hysterical, please let me go, think of my family, I want, like, you know, he's like, this kid took a sign. He didn't even take anything valuable. It's a sign, if you think of it. Not like he stole jewelry, you know. It's a sign. Somebody draws a sign. Who even thinks that that's a crime? And Wilmore is just, like, making fun of him, saying, oh, well, that's what you get for white privilege, blah, 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 blah. And it was horrible then, but now that you see what happened to him, and poor Rory and Ricky are stuck there, like having to.
Listen, man. First of all, I've dealt with enough of that shit that I don't even read it anymore. But like, I mean, and people stab at us all day. But like, it's just at the end of the day, like, listen, that's Wilmore's. That's what he wanted to do. Like, I mean, the guy had a panel show. Like, everybody couldn't sit around and say the same fucking thing, or it wouldn't be a panel. We all sat there and been like, oh, North Korea's bad. Is that a show? Is that anything? Is that anything?
No, but he should have been making fun of a kid.
Yeah, but he came back healthy.
Why?
a compassionate person, I think, would put themselves in the shoes of that
what
of that
was
young
that kid going to do with that sign when he got back?
He was going to make
a fuss about pulling one over on North Korea. You were in a fucking danger zone, dude, and you acted like an idiot.
Taken hostage is not normally the.
I'm sorry. I'm from a place where if you do
something.
Did you
guys see Broke Down Palace?
If you do something out of pocket, and then something worse happens to you, that's on you, bro. Like,
so Eric Garner gets killed selling loose cigarettes.
Oh, you want to argue this?
No, I'm saying he gets killed in Staten Island, and people say, listen, he was just selling cigarettes, and most people say, that's right. I mean, he was just selling cigarettes, which is even illegal, more illegal than stealing a protest
America.
Sign.
But we're in America.
Anybody make fun of him?
It wasn't a protest sign. It was a propaganda sign for Kim Jong-un.
Whatever, it's just a sign.
You're also in a place that has a king.
I love drugs, right? But after seeing Broke Down Palace, I would never go to a fucking Asian country with drugs. I would never buy weed. I would never fuck with it because I don't want to end up in a Taiwanese prison.
Yeah,
or in
have drugs.
Because you have that sense. But this is a young kid. We always have to remember this is a young kid. I've done some stupid fucking shit in my life. But if I'm going to North Korea,
dude,
you're in North Korea.
I don't think
I'll
a young kid understands
into
that.
The airport to New York. Like,
how can you not understand it?
Because you're a kid. You can't even comprehend that somebody would have you tortured and killed or whatever happened to him for taking a sign. Like, that's, I can't even comprehend it.
Blame the school for not
warning
them?
Is it the first hostage North Korea has ever taken?
No. One of the first. There were some other people that I think Bill Clinton got
I mean, it's
out.
Really,
you think the kid knows?
It's really unfortunate, but if he came back, like, just in prison, like, obviously it sucks being in prison for so long, but if he came back not in a coma and not dead, no one would be talking about that Larry Wilmore thing.
No, absolutely. This kid was hysterical crying. He was scared out of his wits. His family, I mean, I have kids. I mean, I can just imagine my kid does something stupid and now he's taken from me forever. And I don't still see how you make fun of that.
Because you don't. Well, we make
it's
fun
just
of
not
everything.
Funny. Huh? No.
Because we all make fun of everything.
I disagree. I mean, I disagree. It's not funny. There, you can make anything funny, Noam.
Yeah, but
comics made rape jokes funny.
You can make anything abstract funny. You can make any subject funny. You can make the Holocaust funny. It's harder to make a particular person's tragedy funny, especially when the
100%. But you got to remember
no one was upset until now.
Wilmer came out. The idea of the show, the original name of that show was The Minority Report.
I know. It's also, like, and it becomes harder to make fun of the victim.
I mean, I got into numerous fights on that show. I fought against that kid that showed up to the school with the clock and a suitcase. I fought against that.
The kid shouldn't have come in with a bomb.
I said if I was a parent and I came in at the end of the day and my kid was sitting there and there's another kid playing with a clock in a suitcase and I go, no one questioned that all day.
It's ticking.
It would be a problem.
Absolutely.
And it went off three separate times in a classroom.
And they told him to stop and they told him not to show it to anybody else.
No. That was when he first got into class that day. I had to read all about it. Yeah. We had that kid on the show and gave him an Apple Watch, okay? So, like, there's numerous things on that show I didn't agree with all the time. We went after people that didn't need to be gone after. But at the same time, I'll stand with Larry on this one because this wasn't one that bothered me, dude. She knows that I hang out with some people. Like, I have one friend that comes from one of these families. He comes from one of these families that would get
What do you mean by these families?
Just a family with money that you could send your kid to North Korea.
I see, okay.
Like, it's just like where your kid just
like,
gets
like
to
my
do,
family.
Your kid gets to do things that other kids don't get to do.
Yeah.
And when I was so underprivileged when I got to be able to do something, I was so ecstatic about doing it. I did it how I was told to do it. Okay. This kid didn't.
But let me tell you something. If young underprivileged Sherrod Small had been sent to Korea when he was 20 years old, you know he would have done something stupid.
Someone would have been pregnant.
It was something he would have done. Stealing a sign would have been the mildest thing. And would we want to? I mean, you just couldn't justify it.
I have family that just went to Vietnam. They went to go see it. The mom wanted to go see it because she grew up during Vietnam, was a big protester during the whole thing, and wanted to see it. Her son, while they were there, was asked for one of the waiters where he can score some pot. He said he might as well have asked him, like, where can we go rape somebody? Because that's how they reacted. That's how, like, they had the manager of the hotel come to him and everybody come to him. They searched his shit.
He's supposed to know asking for
But he's supposed to know?
Yeah. Well,
he's supposed to know. You're saying he's supposed to know.
I'm saying that we do.
So why shouldn't this kid know that you don't go to North Korea and steal shit?
I think that most young kids know that buying drugs is a big crime, and buying drugs in a dictatorship, and they've probably been warned, but they don't know that taking a sign, basically as a souvenir, is anything that can have your life ended.
No, he shouldn't be dead.
But we should have been made fun of.
But that's North Korea. You step into those, you step into, I don't understand people that go, like, it's like not when, like, I go to Atlanta to do shows.
Yeah.
And then I know somebody has a gun on them. And I'm testing them, and I'm testing them, and I'm like, no, you don't. You let go on certain things. You let certain things go because you're not in your territory. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, if this kid had those thoughts and decided to do it anyway, then I would be more inclined to agree with you. I think the kid had no idea whatsoever that taking a sign, it was anything that could get him in that kind of way, take it away from you, whatever, but, you know.
It was a sign off a hotel, right? I don't know. I believe it is.
Literally not letting you go home. That's crazy.
But I think we're making it sound more like a lawn sign that was put out for Hillary. Like, yeah. No, it was, this kid took a banner.
Maybe you're right.
And I mean, dude, it's Kim Jong-un. This man claims he doesn't shit.
But what I do agree with you 100% is that it has to be judged not knowing how the story turned out. It's not fair to judge Wilmore now that we know the kid died,
yeah,
as 100%. If he's made fun of some kid he knew was going to die. Wilmore didn't know the kid was going to die either.
Yeah, I mean, usually, like, rich white kids are easily made fun of, fodder. Like, I don't think anyone assumed he would be.
Now, you don't have to be rich. Anybody white. Anybody white or anybody Christian can be made fun of in any way.
Poor white gets beat down, too.
It's not a matter of poor or not. It's just a matter of the theory, whether it's right to make fun of somebody based on their skin color or not.
It's like the rich white bull. Like,
can
it's
I make
not
one
like
of
a thing
rich
in movies.
Black people? But.
No, I'm just saying it's like an easy thing to make fun of you. I bet Larry and everyone assumed he'd be home in a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone thought that this would happen.
I mean, and at the end of the day, it was a show that had to turn out new shit every day and had to do it within a couple hours.
What about Bill Maher? And
what
the
about
and the N-word?
How do you feel about it?
I feel like if I were Bill Maher's manager and my client had a charmed life, I think I said this, and it's like he's making a lot of money, he has a show, the whole nation wants to hear what he says, I would have a sign in his dressing room that he had to look at every night before he goes out on the air, and the sign would say, "Don't say nigger," because it's the only thing that this man can do to screw up his career. And it's so stupid of him. So in that sense, he's an idiot, number one. Number two, he's also had a big hand in creating and adding fuel to the fire of this culture, which jumps down everybody's throat at anybody that they can call racist and doesn't ever inquire into what's in a person's heart, but always wants to just snarkily hang them by some words that might have come out the wrong way. So I enjoy that. But number three, I think he should be able to make the joke. They used to use that word SNL used to use it. I'm saying if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
But bro, like, it just
I
comes
don't like
down
it.
To,
I wouldn't use
yeah,
it. But,
yeah, but at the same time, though, like, he's the same reason why people think you have said it. People
I
think
understand.
You have said it.
That's a good
because
point.
Because of a man like that. And that's why you should be against him.
Right, but he's saying, you're making a good point. But to me, saying it as in a joke is not the same thing as using it with an intention.
That felt like if he got the opportunity at a dinner party, he would have said it.
Well, you know, let me concede your point for the sake of argument, and let me ask, well, then maybe also there shouldn't be songs on the radio like "Ain't No Nigga Like the One I Got," because maybe all the entire culture that hears that, it seeps into them and they find themselves.
But that's not who Bill Maher is.
No, but I'm saying that
100. Yeah.
I'm saying that ought to be questioned too. Like, if you don't want this word to roll off the tongue, then let's not just introduce it into popular entertainment.
But you can't tell. But that's the thing, and it always goes back to, like, you can't tell anybody who is black or African American to.
I'm not. That's my
point.
No,
no. But
like,
you can't tell them how to use the word. So it's like, dude, yeah, at the end of the day, America has the biggest permanent bruise on it from slavery. It
yes.
will forever, forever make things uneven between black and white people. It will. And it's just, and when somebody like Bill Maher does it, it just puts another high-powered white man saying it. Where I said, no, now I know you personally enough.
Yeah.
That where I can say, no, I don't think you say it. When
no,
you're,
I don't.
You're,
I would never made that joke.
But somebody that doesn't know you, it's like the owner of this, that, and third, they're going to go, oh, yeah, he a white man. He says it all the time.
Yeah.
And that where lies the problem, because the people sticking up for him look like they say it.
Yeah.
And it's because of guys like him that promote it, like, that not they not promote it, but guys like him that try to get in. He tried to get in doing that joke. He thought it was. Do you think he thought it was going to pass?
I don't know. You're a comedian. I don't know. He had you know, tenths of seconds to consider it. I don't know if he thought it through or not. I don't know.
I just think.
Apparently, he uses the word behind the scenes in jokes with some frequency.
Which, listen, I sat at a table with Larry Wilmore. I sat at where certain writers would say it, some weren't. Some would finally.
But nevertheless, John Lennon did have a song, "Woman Is the Nigger of the World," and it was you know, performed on the Dick Cavett show.
Yeah,
Chevy Chase
changed.
Did use it on SNL. So at some point the world did change.
Like, yeah,
and I guess I'm not really defending him.
Yeah,
because
what year did Chevy Chase say it? Because it might have been when black and white people couldn't even legally get married. You
no,
know what I mean?
No. He said it in a bit with Richard Pryor. I'm just saying there's no clear rules. I'm not really defending him because I don't think he should have said it. I guess what I'm defending is that I don't think his career should be jeopardized. And I don't like this call to arms to boycott and end somebody every time somebody, as we all know can happen to anybody, says something, even something they shouldn't have said.
I can't, but
like,
at the same time,
let's move on.
But none of us sitting right here can even have really an opinion about it, because I put it into this every day. My older brother, he's dark. My dad's a Puerto Rican. My older brother, he's a dark guy, right? There's been numerous times in his life where he was called a spick. And I watched this kid fight often. My brother would fight everybody that said it. If spick ever became a thing that me and my friends were saying back and forth, like, I can't even relate to that. I can't even think of that being a thing. So the fact that word has even been turned into that show, I don't know, man. It's just, it's not for our lips. It really isn't. It's not for anybody's lips other than a black person. I'm sorry. Like, I can't find a place where it's okay. Even in jokes. I had a joke about it for a while. I did. I used to use the word, and I haven't done that joke probably in like 4 or 5 years. And but it was just, it's not for us. It's not for us to ever say, funny or not.
Let me ask you this. You tell me what you think about this. I was shortly after my father died. You didn't know my father, but he was a very important figure.
Yes, I've.
And he was in the hospital, and Sherrod was banned from the club at some point. And about 2 weeks before my father died, he's.
When was this utopia? Keep going.
About 2 weeks before my father died, he called up Sherrod, and he lifted the ban, and he was crying. He was upset. I mean, it was like a little. They made up. And then, like, a week after my father died, Sherrod and I were in the Pussycat drinking. And he was talking. He says, you know, I just loved your father so much. I loved your father so much. And you know, his eyes were welling up with tears. And I said, Sherrod, my father loved you so much. Whatever, he really loved you. And now real tears. And I said, Sherrod, you know, his last words were about you. And now Sherrod's like, oh really? He can't. He says, what did he say? I said, sure. He could barely talk, and it was the last day he had brain cancer. He was having trouble producing words. And in a weak voice, he leaned over and he says, Norm, don't trust that nigger.
And we all sit here and smile. Like,
so, and Sherrod thought it was the funniest thing he had ever heard.
Yeah, that's
now,
your friend.
Now, wait. Now, That was the only time I can say, that's the only time I ever used the word enjoy. But I knew going into it, I can remember the thought process, like, is this okay to do? Is it okay to do? And I was like, no, this will be okay. It's that funny. If that had been on TV, I'm saying, if that had been a sitcom, and exactly that thing, I would have to say, no, that's okay. It's funny.
Yeah. It is fun.
Maybe it's because I was putting the words in my father's mouth, kind of like the irony was that my father was a racist.
My joke was that somebody called me the N-word. And that's how I used to go about it.
Well, that should be okay.
I have an N-word joke, but it's a wet pussy joke at the end. So.
Of course it is. We know everything goes back to your pussy. But I don't know, man. I'm in a group chat. Gerard Carmichael, Little Rel, Jermaine Fowler, the Lucas Brothers, and the rest of them. They use it. They use the word a lot.
Well, among black people, they use it, yeah.
I refuse to use it in the chat. I just don't think... Now, in that aspect, you have so much history with Sherrod. Too much history with Sherrod. And then you guys, like, you're sitting there talking about your dead dad. Yeah. I mean, I think that's so funny. But that was a moment between two people, not you and the... Everybody that watches HBO. Like, yeah. I mean, that's a totally different thing.
No,
man.
It really comes down. Okay, he said it. He shouldn't have said it. What should the punishment be?
I thought he should have lost the show, honestly.
You thought he should have lost the 100%. Show. That's a terrible precedent for a comedian to.
Did you guys watch the episode the next week? Because I didn't watch it, but my roommate.
No, I didn't.
With Ice Cube?
Yeah, my roommate said it was one of the best things on television she's ever seen, and that it was just like three black dudes just like telling Bill Maher to shut up and listen. Yeah. And they said it was, like, great TV, so something good came out of it. Maybe I should watch it, but...
Yeah, Ice Cube.
I don't like the protection about, like, should he or shouldn't he. It's, like, it's the job of the bosses. Like, having a TV show is not a right. It's, like, a privilege.
Yeah, and I believe
so,
too.
If a bunch of people are like, fuck you, yeah, you lose it. Like, am I on Kathy Griffin's side? Yeah, of course, I don't think she should have had to apologize and do all that stuff.
She's weak. That's why she did that.
I'm mad that
was weak. That was weak.
I'm amazed, I admire your principles, but I'm amazed that you think that Bill Maher should have been fired for
a joke that came out. I just don't like the, like, I'm a victim, because it's like you said something and people can react.
That was one thing he did not do. He did not say, I'm a victim, and he did not, he owned up to it, and he did it. But I think, I mean, what was the punishment? What was the punishment for saying it? What was the punishment for saying it? Nothing. So the next...
Well, his reputation is tarnished.
What do you know? It's not.
Sure it is.
Stop it. That'll be gone in seconds. That will be good. No, you know how this works. You've seen it 1,000 times. He's going to keep his show. It's going to keep going. It's going to be fine. So that's not true. He's tarnished.
I don't know. Michael Richards said it. I don't think he ever fully recovered from that.
And he didn't. And you know what? He didn't. He
also didn't do it as a joke.
Yeah.
No.
He was screaming it like a maniac. Like, I mean, those are totally two different. This guy made a joke on a good show.
The Michael Richards was way worse. I get that. But I'm saying for the people who were offended by Bill Maher saying it, I don't know that they're going to forget about it.
I'm just disappointed in what he's became. Same. He was one of my favorites growing up. I remember when he got fired from Politically Incorrect, I was like, live it. I just remember watching that show and being so into him. I remember watching him live at the Chicago Theater debate Ann Coulter. Like, I really looked up to him, and I just think he's an out-of-touch loser now. Like,
yeah,
the N-word thing. It was like, it's been the past 4 or 5 years.
Well, the other thing was...
But he lost me.
It wasn't even good just being like, I'm a house. Like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Like, you're not. And then the other thing is,
and
like...
And it's like, yeah, and all those people got raped. And
yeah,
like, house
slaves got raped.
But then, of course, Ice Cube had that song, Cave Bitch, which is all about... How he would never want to fuck a white girl, flat washboard ass, rather fuck an albino.
I'm always shocked at how,
like,
much stuff you know.
Nastiest.
Well,
no.
Well, I always say rap is, those guys are, they have the best lives. They get away with anything they want to say. 50 Cent came off stage and punched a woman in the chest. He literally got pulled off stage by his hands, came down and punched this chick in the chest. Realized what he did, and he was like, oh, snap, why don't you come dance on stage? And she danced for 4 songs. Like, those guys get away with murder.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
legit,
like,
murder.
Yeah, that too. But, I mean, like, they get away with everything. They can say whatever they want. And if you are going to continue to compare yourself to rappers, guys that sit there and drink codeine and smoke weed all day, then lower yourself to that. That's how I feel about it.
It's just unbelievable to have a guy who wrote where is this? Give me a black guy, a sister, I can't resist her. No stringy hair, blonde hair, blue-eyed, pale skin, buttermilk complexion, grafted, recessive, depressive, ironing board, backside straight up and straight down, no frills, no thrill, miss 6 o'clock, subject to have the itch, mutanoid, caucasoid, white cave bitch.
Well, like, that is now Bill. My favorite 30 seconds I've ever listened to in my whole entire life.
Oh, you like that?
I'm not that educated in all this. But it's also like, how I want to know how old he was and
wait,
how long.
Want to hear a little bit more? Now, don't think that I hate you because I won't date you, bitch. I got to stay true. You can be a fan, but don't expand and try to get my dick in your hand. You better run to the Minuteman, pale as so act like you know. Because if I slap it, flip it, and rub it like that, yeah, I got to be, yeah, got to be black. Plus, your ass too flat. I need a butt big enough that can clap. Rat-tat-tat. You can't get mine, ho. I'd rather fuck an albino.
The guy knows what he wants.
Now, okay. Okay. Now, these are great lyrics, actually. This is just... I mean, there's another rhyme. He rhymes... I can't remember now. Talk for a minute. This one of the best
rhymes. What's the point?
But I mean, why compare yourself to a rapper if you're a guy that stood there?
At least I know she's coming
to a point. Political.
Hold on. The best line. At least I know she's coming from the Nubian and not the Ku Klux Klan that you be in. Come on. But to feel that you can say anything you want.
Rappers have the best careers.
And that's real hate. Like, he's not making a joke there. And then you're going to lecture somebody on something that came out the wrong way, not based anymore. We live in a culture where words speak louder than actions. Or so actions speak louder than words. No, we don't care what's in your heart anymore. We only care the syllables that came out of your mouth. Bill Maher is not a racist. Bill Maher is offended by racism.
Right.
Ice Cube, that sounds like racism. Oh, yet, because Bill Maher said the N-word, he should lose his show, and Ice Cube can lecture him, even with all that
Ice
hate
Cube
in his heart.
Was also
that's what bothers me.
I don't even think they should have been in the early 90s, so it's also like 30 years. I mean, he's in his 50s now. You're allowed to change your opinion.
I don't think he has changed his opinion. I was cool, cool, clean that you be in. All right, the show is over. Come on, that's... It's a really good song.
I want you to start rapping because I did not know you could carry a flow like that at all.
Oh, was I flowing? I didn't even.
Oh, no, yeah, you did that very well.
Oh, look at that.
No, that was incredible. I've never saw that coming out of you.
I was leaving my house and I was like, oh, I hope we don't talk about politics. Noam knows all this political shit I don't read. And then
no, I
you
knew
know,
that, so that's why.
Yeah, but then you do. But then you have rap lyrics too. It's like, what is going on?
Anyway, I remember that song from when I was a kid. All right, well, listen, this was a...
You listened to rap?
Some, you know...
You were everywhere. You were
some
in
hand-picked
it.
Rap. Yeah. Well, listen, my first... You know, I was in a high school. I was a senior in high school when Rapper's Delight came out.
Okay.
And the first girl that I slept with, she loved that song.
Oh, I was hoping black.
No. So, she was Italian. So, I went home, and I had my little nylon string guitar, and I worked out the bass, like, boom, 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 ba-dum, boom, 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 ba-dum. And I learned the entire rap to Rapper's Delight. And I went over to her house, and I rapped it for her. And that's how I got...
And that's why
laid.
You fuck
that,
men.
That's... And it worked. She was charmed by that. And that's how I got my first girl.
That's incredible.
My girl plays the piano and guitar, too.
Okay.
I want to meet her.
She's great. She'll hopefully be here in the fall.
Cool.
Ricky, Lisa, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.